Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a victim of an unusual car accident as a child work through the process of a brain injury, choose life, and live with health and productivity? This is the story of Tracy Anikis. Along the way, she has found strength, wisdom, and hope through her relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, my friend, that's why we always pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you, dear one, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, even right now, there is always hope, always hope in Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. The resurrected Christ today, my friend, calls you to himself. Mm-hmm. A question. Will you respond to Jesus? Will you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you receive him as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer. That's our heart. And we believe that God is going to speak to you through Tracy Anikis today. Tracy's been married for over 35 years. Mm-hmm. She and her husband have 3 children and 3 grandchildren. Tracy, welcome to our show.
Aloha, Danny and Suzanne.
Tracy, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the island of Oahu. I'm an only child, an only grandchild, and an only niece on my mother's side. And then, so when I was young, we lived in Kaimuki. And then as I grew older, we moved to Moanalua Gardens.
Suzanne, she says she's the only child, only grandchild, only niece on her mother's side. Sounds to me like a golden child, doesn't it?
I think so. Absolutely.
Who influenced you most, Tracy, in your growing up years?
I have to say my mom and dad. And then there's this one special, what do they call them? The teacher. Well, she wasn't a teacher. She was the one that watched the children during recess.
Like
the
a
recess
monitor?
Attendant. Yeah. Her name was Miss Mary. And I remember every time we skinned our knees or we were in trouble, she would always tell us, treat each other the way you would want to be treated. So she said, remember the golden rule and be kind in a way that you would want someone else to be kind to you. And the other thing she always shared with me was always be thankful because someone else out there has it worse. So, you know, you might not like the shoes you have, but there's somebody out there that maybe doesn't have feet. And different, she just was very positive person in my life that God planted there. And later on, I realized what a difference she made.
What are the benefits of being the only child? Or the only grandchild and the only niece on your mother's side? I keep coming back to this because, we are speaking to the golden child here, right?
That's right.
People think of it as a golden child. I was born in an Oriental family, and in this way, I count myself a blessing because there was no brother, so I didn't have to. When there's a brother, then you're the sister, you have to take care of the brother. So I didn't have to do that, but other than that, there was a lot of responsibility of being an only child, because when something went wrong, it was always me, and But at the same time, I guess I had the love of all of the adults in my life, which they did. They did pour their love into my life in many ways.
Well, talking about love and pouring out love or being a recipient of love from your family, what would happen sometimes, Tracy, when you'd come home and your dad would see you?
Well, there'd be times, of course, I've always waited for my dad to come home. And he would come home and come in the door, and he would say, "Oh, how was your day? Have we been good today?" And I always said, "Yes, I've been very good today." And my dad would just say with a twinkle in his eye, "Well, then we must go get strawberry sundaes." And that was a big deal to me, that we would go to Dairy Queen, and we would go get the strawberry sundae. And it was like, party, okay, big party.
Isn't that a treasure? I mean, these are from childhood little days. Mm-hmm. And even the lady on the playground, wonderful memories that mm-hmm. have impacted you yeah. all this time.
Mm-hmm. It made a big difference in my life because Miss Mary, her name was Miss Mary, and when later on when I was about to enter third grade, I was in a serious car accident. I was about 9 years old, and I was in a car that was, we had just moved to Wanlow Gardens, new neighborhood. I wasn't happy about it. Here I was sitting in this car going the opposite direction that we normally drive because now we're headed away from Wanalua into town rather than from Kaimuki into town. And my mom had given me a magazine I didn't like. I'd rather read about Superman than Daffy Duck. And I'm sitting in the back seat strapped in, and how bad can life get? And then the car comes to a sudden stop. And so I look over to the side. I was behind the passenger, the driver's seat. And I looked over to the side, and bam, that was it. I don't remember anything after that. And then later on, I wake up, I'm in this bed with all these white sheets, and I'm strapped down, and I just don't remember being there. I'm very confused. So there's this person leaning over me, and she's dressed, she turned out to be a nurse. And I looked at her, and I said, "What's going on?" And she looks back at me, and doesn't acknowledge me, and keeps doing what she's doing. I said, "What is going on?" I was really angry, and I was confused, and I wanted some answers. And so she looks at me again, and she leaves, and she comes back with this other doctor, and I look at him, and I said, "What is going on?" And the nurse looks at the doctor, and she goes, "It seems like she's coming out of it, or coming to." And so the doctor starts asking me, "Oh, what's my name? How old am I? When was I born? Can you count back from 100? And I was kind of getting angry because he was asking me all the questions. And no one answered me my question of why was it that I was unable to move and I was in this strange bed. And where was my parents? And then as it turned out, I found out that I was a victim of a car accident. And in going through an intersection, the light hit my mother's eyes, and she didn't know what to do. So she reached for the brake. We had just gotten a brand new automatic car, and she used to drive a standard. So in searching for that brake, she hit the gas. Mm. And we ended up in the back of a flatbed truck. And when I looked to the side to see what happened, it was just the perfect timing of the impacted glass that got hit to reach and hit my forehead. And that sent me into a coma that I was in for a week.
So you were in a coma for a week. So when you were coming out, that was the end of that.
The coma.
That period of time.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's such a life-changing moment as a third grader.
Yeah, it began a life-changing moment.
What happened to your mom?
Apparently, when I was told that when I was in this coma, My mom was having a nervous breakdown. The doctors had told her that the injury was very severe. I had lost a lot of blood. And this glass had hit my forehead, shattering the frontal skull and lodging itself in my brain. So it took two doctors to pull this glass out. And in the process, they just told her, in all likelihood, I'm not going to survive. If I did survive, I'm probably going to be blind, and there's probably going to be a lot of damage where I probably will have to sit in a chair. I wouldn't be able to do anything much mentally or physically. So my mom, I'm her only child, and I was precious. And so she was having a breakdown in the doorway of my my room. And this visiting pastor was walking by. And he stopped to ask my mom, ma'am, is there something I can do for you? I can see you're obviously distressed. And my mom said, don't need to do anything for me. I need you to, if you can do something for my daughter. Because, you know, my mom was a Buddhist. And she had already gone to the temple, paid the ministers, and they had, I guess, done their prayer things, and nothing had happened. So she said, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and reach out and let this pastor pray for my daughter. So he came over and prayed over me, and it was at that moment that I'm told that I came out of my coma.
Mm. You're listening to Tracy Aniquez. Her story, I mean, we're going back to her third grade year, near tragic accident, left to what doctors are saying she's going to remain, if she survives, she'll remain in a vegetative state condition. God sends a pastor to minister to her mom, who was already at wit's end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. An act of God's grace. We're just getting started here. Of course, when you talk about somebody having such a brain trauma, it's important to find out what the effects were. Mm. What was the impact of that? How obviously she's here, she's articulate. How did she recover from that? Tracy, your testimony is giving people hope.
Mm.
Because whether it's a brain injury or whether it's a other unexpected cataclysm that has taken place, people's lives are either on the fringe, and in some instances they feel like it's totally shattered.
Mm.
But you testify of hope that is found in Christ. When we come back from our break, more from Tracy. Yes, well, yes, what was the impact of her brain injury? Were there changes in her personality? Well, how did her parents cope?
Mm.
How did this impact not only her mother, but her father, mm-hmm. being the only child, as we keep saying, the golden child.
The grandparents, the aunties.
More from Tracy Aniquez. This is a heart-to-heart moment with you, and I believe the Lord is going to speak to you even more when we come back. Stay with us. Glad you're with us. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Tracy Anikas, well, she reflects back and she says, well, I found out that I was a victim of a car accident. Something happened that caused our car to plow into the back of a flatbed truck. A large piece of glass impacted by the crash struck my forehead, shattered that part of my skull, and lodged itself in my brain. I had lost consciousness, she says. It took two doctors to pull the glass out of my brain. You hear her snickering here with us in studio. That is Tracy. And the Lord has restored her. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. I'm grateful that you're with us today. Look, perhaps you're tuning in right now. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment. Hey, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift. Mm. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. This program may be one you might want to share with a family member or friend to encourage them. Mm-hmm. Maybe even reach out to someone mm-hmm. who needs encouragement at this particular time in their lives. And in doing so, you also will be sharing the love and the message of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Tracy, what impact did the brain injury have on you?
So after the initial coming out of the coma thing, I found that I couldn't just go home. I had to stay in the hospital with what turned out to be 3 months of recuperation. They weren't very familiar with how to treat that type of brain injury, so the doctors were figuring out what kind of skull cover they were going to put in place because my skull had been shattered. So they needed to the time for me to get ready for the surgery and to do the surgery. So I was in the hospital for 3 months. And during that time, so it became my second home. I couldn't go out. No little children could come in. So I did crossword puzzles and I met other people in the hospital. And because I was in a children's ward, those other people were mostly children. There was this one girl that I, there was this one boy that I met.
Was this the children's hospital right here on Kuakini?
It was Queens Hospital.
Oh, Queens, okay.
Yeah, Queens. Mm-hmm. And so I was not born there, but that's where I went for this particular thing. Anyway, there was a boy in the ward. And he used to do art, and he taught me how to paint by the numbers. Mm-hmm. And we became friends. We played card games and, you know, just different kind of games to buy the time. And he was just really, really a nice guy. And then one day he wasn't there because he had died. And that was just the answer they gave me. He wasn't going to come back. He had gone to sleep, they called it. And then there was this other girl that I met, and we befriended each other. She also had a longer stay than most kids, and we had the same room. And it turned out that she had a hole in her heart. And that was one of the sad things about being in the hospital and being a kid, because when the time came for me to leave, I walked past her room. She had she had gone into surgery prior to my last day there. And when she came out, they gave her a different room on the same floor. But she was unconscious underneath an oxygen tent. Her face was like purple and blue and kind of whitish. And she was unconscious. And they was putting blood back into her, bags of blood. So I never got to say bye to her. I hope she came out of that surgery. It was my time to leave. It was a good day, and it was a sad day. So that was a sad thing about it. But I was happy to get out of that hospital. Even though the nurses and the aides are really wonderful people, and my heart goes out to them and with gratitude, and to all the doctors. I'm grateful that when I was unconscious and the doctors gave such a dire diagnosis for me, that my parents never gave up. And even though they said that I might not even have brain activity that's going to actually be a productive member of society, my parents never gave up loving me, and they gave me that opportunity so that I was able to now be able to walk out of the hospital. So I'm thankful for that. And I think about people that, you know, they don't know what if their life has value. And I just gotta say, Romans 8:28 means a lot to me, because it says that, I can't remember it right off, but it's where God will use everything in your life for good and for the people that love God. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. And he was bringing that to pass in my life. Mm. So I didn't know him then, but God used that accident to bring me to him.
Tracy, were there changes? Did mom or dad mention any changes in your personality because of the brain injury?
None that I know of. I went back to school. I went into the fourth grade, started a brand new elementary school, and when I took my SATs, it was above average. So academically I was fine. I think socially I was the same. Except for now, I had this huge scar on my head. So that was a little rough. Kids are not very friendly with people that have large scars on their heads. Overall, I had to put up with a lot of teasing.
I can barely see a thing now. It just I wouldn't have noticed anything. How did your parents cope with the changes?
I think they tried to pick up and go forward as usual. My dad was a steady worker. He loved the family, and he was a good provider. So he, was really good at doing his work and coming home and making sure the bills got paid and that we were cared for with the house and our basic needs. And then my mom was just kept busy. I think, she really was thankful that I had come out of the coma, and it didn't, like you said, I have the scar, but then I wasn't otherwise incapacitated.
You mentioned your faith, that you weren't a Christian at that time. Mm-hmm. When did you become a Christian, Tracy?
So after I get out of the hospital, every Sunday after that, I got to tell you a little bit about my background. I'm an only child, an only grandchild, and only niece on my mom's side. My mom's side of the family is Buddhist. And I was raised with the Buddhist religion. and taught that someday I would be taking care of the family and eventually the shrine, the family shrine, which is the family ancestors. And that was a very important job. And I really didn't mind that because I love my family, and this was one way to really love back on the family. But let's see. So I understood. I went to the temple, and I participated in the different activities, and that was fine for me. Well, when I came out of the hospital, my mom began dropping me off at this Christian church every Sunday. And I didn't know what was going on, but she would take me to the church, drop me off, and say, go up those stairs. They'll take care of you. So I went up, and they would take me to Sunday school class, and I got introduced to the Word of God, the Bible. And this was fascinating. I read Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, in the beginning, God, okay? And then I read about Daniel and Goliath and Moses and the Red Sea and just a lot of miracles and fascinating events that happened that were not just fables or stories. These are real, okay? I studied Roman and Greek mythology, and I was fascinated with that. And I studied Hawaiian fables and mythology, and I really enjoyed those things and were fascinated with that. But here in the Word of God, it was in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, it is a word of, it's inspired. God breathed and used prophets and people to write his word. This was real, not just a story. And it's history. It's historically correct. So I would read these stories, and I would go to Sunday school class, and they would say, who knows what happened with Daniel and Goliath? And I would raise my hand, you know. And then they would say, David and Goliath. They said, what happened to Daniel and the lions then? I would raise my hand. I knew all the answers because I would go home and I'd read this stuff. It's just amazing. And then afterwards, the teacher would say, does anyone besides Tracy know what happened, in this Bible story? And I was like, whoa. And I look around and I was like, they weren't excited. And so even though I loved it and I went to church for 3 years, I think, I had perfect attendance.
I want you to hold on to your enthusiasm. I don't think we need to remind her to hold on. She's already passionate about it. But when we come back from our break, let's go and take us further on this journey of how from Sunday school, your hunger for the Word. I mean, she does extra. Here we go to Sunday school, but she's doing homework. She's assigning herself homework, it sounds like to me.
I had perfect attendance for 3 years. Loving. I had the pins.
When we come back from our break, more from Tracy Anikis. Yes, you might say, wow, and she had a head injury? She had a plate of glass?
Yes. She was predicted to be a vegetable
lodged
if she lived.
Deep in her skull where two doctors have to pull the glass out?
Yeah.
And here she is.
Kind of gross, yeah.
Well, we get a little graphic sometimes. It's good for radio.
It is.
And it's good to laugh, too. It's good to hear the joy because there's been healing and there's been hope. For you, too, dear one. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
Well, this
guests.
Really is a rare occasion. I mean, to hear someone who has had a severe brain injury able to articulate in the way that she is able to express herself, having gone through so much trauma. But more than that, if that's not enough, it's the testimony of the grace of God and the love of God, the salvation of Christ for Tracy Anikis. This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Tracy Anikis. So Tracy, you were explaining to us
yes.
about your journey of faith, emerging from a Buddhist background,
mm-hmm.
Commissioned by the family mm-hmm. to take care of the ancestors
yes.
Going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Then your accident, the intervention by God's grace of the chaplain who was at the hospital at that time. He prayed for you and God brought you back.
Yes.
God restored you.
Mm-hmm.
Now your mom is open to the things of Christ, and then she takes you to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
She says, go up there, those stairs, so people are going to take care of you. Well, you're voracious in your desire to learn the word. Take us from there.
So, I noticed that, I don't know, well, maybe it was me, probably is me, that no one else seemed to be really excited. And I tried the choir. I was now going to Sunday school, and I read a lot of the Old Testament, but that's all it went. It didn't go much farther than that. So I said, okay, this was nice. You know, happy to meet everyone. We'll keep in touch. I'm going to go now. mm-hmm. And I didn't go after I stopped going.
How many years?
I don't know, about a year. About a year I wasn't going. And I just, you know, picked up with my social, riding my bike around the neighborhood and meeting my neighbors and other friends in the neighborhood. I was now going to a new school, so I had friends in that neighborhood. And this one girlfriend that I got together with all the time, we liked each other. Can I mention names? Lisa Okamoto. I don't know if she even remembers me anymore. But we used to play, and
you may reconnect because of this program.
I'm already starting to think about this.
I'm thinking of all my cousins that are listening to this. So she would invite me every time we got together. Will you come to church with me? And I would say, no, been there, done that. It's okay. And she go, oh, okay. And then the next time we're together, will you go to church with me? No, been there, done that. It's okay. Oh, okay. It's getting old after a while. Will you go to church with me? So finally I said to her one day, I'm going to church with you one time. And after this, you'll stop asking me. She goes, okay. Okay, that's fine.
Now, about how old were you?
Oh,
high school?
No, I wasn't in high school. I was still in intermediate.
Okay,
no, not elementary. Right around there, elementary, I would say. Seventh grade, going close to seventh grade. So I said, okay, we'll do that. So I went with her to church. We went right down the road. It was this place, this new place we now lived in, but there was a church down the road. So I went there, and these people, there was something different about them. They were loving. They accepted me. I would go to church with puka jeans or halter tops or, you know, I mean, I don't know. And I would just go and with whatever I'm comfortable with, and no one ever made a comment to me about, hey, you should dress nicer or be more conservative or watch how you talk. Or, you know, they just were always, hi, how are you? Good to see you. And they meant it. It was, you know, mom and pop shorts. They were there. There was this, he would have candy in his pocket. And he always said, guess what I got? He'd point to his pocket and there'd be a piece of candy in there. You know, just these little, they just had a love in them. And I was drawn there. Okay. I was hooked. And it just seemed natural to go there all the time. I was there when even the doors were closed. I would just go down there to see if there was something happening down there or, you know, whatever. I would go to where the pastor was and I'd watch him garden. There was something different about these people. And I knew that it was different and I wanted it. So I hung around and I learned about, you know, I went back to Sunday school. And in the course of everything, I said, okay, I'm gonna wear nice clothes. I'm gonna clean up my language, make sure I talk nice. You know, I memorized Bible scriptures. You know, love God and love your neighbor, that kind of stuff. Okay, got it all. So I'm going there, but I still don't. They still have something I don't have. I can't figure it out. So, in the course of this, it became about that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to having a right relationship with Him, with God, except through Jesus. And this is what they had. They had a relationship with the Almighty God. And this was strange to me because in Buddhist, you don't have a relationship with Buddha. You live, you die, you reincarnate, you live, you die, you reincarnate. This is the reincarnation. So I said, okay. They said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So I said, okay. And God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. So I said, okay, this is good. But is it real? Because if it's just another religion, then I already have a religion. I don't need another religion. So I began to look at the different major religions, Mormonism and these other religions. And I looked at the point of it is the bottom line came to be that they all differed in the point of Jesus Christ and who they said He was. He was either a great teacher or a great prophet or not important, you know. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I said, okay, in Buddhism, Buddha was searching for the way. He was searching for the truth. He was searching for life. And so I thought, well, why didn't he just accept Jesus? But anyway, so I looked into it and I began to realize that Jesus was more than just a person. He was holy God and holy man. And it wasn't another religion. Let's see. So when I looked in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. Because when you're born in the flesh, but your spirit is dead. But when you, so in order to receive eternal life, you need to accept Jesus, and his Holy Spirit can bring your spirit to life. And so I said, okay, there's a bunch of other things. But so I went to camp, Easter camp, jumping forward. And at this Easter camp, there was a pastor there, and he said, I'm going to be frank with you guys. If you know all about God, that God loves you, he has a perfect plan for your life, you're separated by sin, but so because of this sinful separation, you need a savior. And so Jesus came, put us as living man and living God. He lived a perfect life, and he sacrificed his life on the cross to shed his blood so that you can now receive forgiveness of sin and be made right with God so that you can have eternal life. And you can, and so if, you know, you can know all of that, but if you don't actually, it's like a Christmas present. When I give you a Christmas present, if you don't take the present and open it and use it, it's useless. So God gave us this gift in his son, but you have to not only know about it, you have to receive it and accept Jesus as your savior. So that was the key. That was the thing that I was like, that's what I need. I have a God-shaped hole in my life that only God can fill. And I need that relationship with him. So he made an altar call. That's where, you know, he says, if you want to receive Christ, don't only pray it in your heart, but come forward as a witness to how the decision you made and receive Christ. So I was sitting there amongst all my friends at camp, and I was about three or four people in. And the devil used that. I let him. He said, oh, you're going to inconvenience all those people if you have to go. And I was frozen, too, because I honestly, this is a huge decision. If I made this decision, that meant that I am now a Christian. I'm no longer Buddhist. I am going to follow Christ. And that meant that I was not going to be caring for the family altar. And I would have to tell my grandma and people, you know, that I'm a follower of Christ, and so I didn't go forward. And they ended the service. Other people went forward. Then we were dismissed to our cabins, and I remember sitting around a campfire, and they're like, my friends are chatting, they're all happy, yay, you know, we're having fun together. And then but I felt just so, so sad and empty inside. And I prayed to the Lord, and I said, please, God, I believe in the second coming of Jesus. I said, please, Jesus, don't come back tonight because I'm not ready. But if you give me the opportunity one more time, I promise I will make that decision. I will follow you. And so the next time we had the minister shared next day, and he said, you know, I don't normally do this 2 days in a row, but I'm going to. God prompted me. I should ask those that want to receive Christ to come forward. And so I did. I went forward.
Tracy Anika's sharing her story, her journey of faith, how she as a maybe early teens, or maybe not even that, just around 7th grade, 12, 13 years old, or somewhere thereabouts, yeah. Right? Goes to a camp and makes a decision for Christ. It's a culminating moment in her early years at that time of her life. But it was through a process that she's explained to us, some of her thoughts, some of her emotions, a lot that went in, especially at that young of an age. When we come back, I want to take a few moments, Tracy, and just think about this question. If someone were to ask you, what should I do with someone who is damaged and dying? Mm. What would you say? Mm. Well, let's talk about that when we come back. It'll be in our final segment.
Okay.
Because dear friend, as you're listening today to Tracy, and we have this privilege to hear her, what would you say? What would your answer be? What should you do if someone who is damaged, with someone who is damaged and dying? Her parents chose to do something. How about us? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yes, that's a question. That's a question. What should I do with someone who is damaged and dying? It's a question that Tracy and Ika's parents had to ask. They had her in a very grave condition. But others are in that same situation. Someone who is damaged and dying. Mm-hmm. You could just take it one, just singularly, someone who is damaged. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Someone who's dying, or both. Mm-hmm. But it's grave. Mm-hmm. What should you do? This is the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Tracy Anikis. So Tracy, what would you say? Well, let me step back. What did your parents do? What did they show you? And then, of course, what would you say?
Yeah, that is something to think about. My parents did show me. I mean, even when I was unconscious, they made sure that I had care, that I had every chance to take that next breath, and to hope and pray for my benefit. And I'm grateful that they did. And when you ask what to do when someone's injured and damaged, suffering even, I heard that there was times when I would reach for the glass that I thought was still in my head. And that's why they had me strapped down. Mm-hmm. I would tear everything off. And I guess I wasn't a really good patient. And but it looked like that. Honestly, I don't remember any of the pain. But I'm grateful. I personally would say choose life, because that person was me. Mm-hmm. That's
Suzanne?
Well, of course, you know me in prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a pastor was in the hospital to pray for someone else, and mm-hmm. he's just walking down the hall.
Yes.
And your mother allows him not to pray for her, because mm-hmm. she was the one he noticed, but to pray for her daughter, who's in grave condition. And when we're in a damaged situation and perhaps even facing death, prayer. Mm-hmm. Turn to the Lord. Just and allow people to pray for you.
Yes.
That would be my thought.
So when you've run out of options, mm-hmm. when the situation is such that you have nowhere to go, and even professionals mm-hmm. tell you that you should sort of pack it in. Mm-hmm. And there's not much of a future here. There's hope in
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is the power of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even in death, mm-hmm. the greatest fear of humankind, mm-hmm. there is hope even in, that's the wonder and the marvel of the power and the grace Amen. Of Almighty God, mm-hmm. that he takes the deepest, darkest fear of mm-hmm. humanity.
Yeah.
And in that, there is hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The resurrection hope in Christ. Christ the victor. Christ the conqueror.
I guess I want to kind of regress a little. Like when I was exposed to the gospel, and I began to understand who Jesus Christ was. I think I have an understanding of life and death that some people don't have. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that says, carpe diem, seize the day. Mm-hmm. And today is the day of decision, not tomorrow, not next week. You don't know when your time is over. I can testify to you that there were children in that hospital that never left there alive. Life comes and goes. It doesn't. The time to make the decision is today. Mm. And heaven and hell is real. But you don't have to choose hell. God, in this time, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And because of him, the angel of death can pass over us. And by his blood, we can receive forgiveness of sin.
You're speaking today hopeful words, but very serious words.
Mm-hmm.
Someone today may be listening.
Mm-hmm.
I just received an email from Germany last week. I just received an email from Switzerland a few weeks before. We've people listening all over the world in different states. Today is the day. That's what
today
I hear you saying.
Today is the day.
Tracy, lead in a prayer for someone who may be right there now, wanting to, like you were,
exactly.
wanting to accept Christ. And they've said, the next time I have a chance, I'm going to do it. This is their moment. Lead them.
Mm-hmm. Father God, I thank you that you love me and that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me.
Yeah, say this prayer with Tracy.
I recognize that I'm a sinner and that my sins separates you, me from you, because you're a holy God. So I accept your gift of Jesus Christ and how he has taken my place and has paid for my sins by his suffering and with his blood, and that by his resurrected life, I can know that there is life after death. And so I just accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord right now. I don't understand everything, Lord, but I do accept this life-giving gift. And I thank you that in 1 John 1:9 you say that if I confess or if I agree with you that I have done wrong and I have sinned, that you are faithful and just to not only forgive me of my sins, but to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that I now pass from death into life, and I have a right relationship with you. So I thank you, God, and I accept this in Jesus' name. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tracy, someone says, that's what I wanted to pray. And you led me in that prayer. Thank you, Tracy. Thank God. Tracy, what next?
What next?
Yes.
Then I would suggest that you, number one is God is your Father now. So when you talk to him, that's called prayer. And you can know that he hears you and he receives you. And then I would suggest you find a good church that that knows the Bible. And teaches you about God and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Read the Bible yourself, mm-hmm. and ask God to teach you. And His Holy Spirit will anoint it, and you will be able to understand this amazing book. And even if you decided not to pray this prayer, I encourage everyone to read the Bible. Read it through. It's like a novel. Read the whole thing. And decide. In the end, God says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and there's not going to be any more pain or sorrow or death, and we'll be able to rejoice there together. So I hope you'll make a decision to ask Jesus into your life and to become part of the family of God. And I hope that when trials come in your life, when in its death, it looks like there's no hope, that you will just cry out to God and let him give you hope and hang on to him and receive the blessing from that.
Encouraging words from Tracy Anikis. The Lord has preserved her, and she has grown in her faith in the Lord. And today he sends her here to share the message of good news in Jesus Christ. Tracy, thank you so much for being with us, sharing with us.
You're welcome. God is good.
Amen. God's timing is also perfect.
Yes,
and like you said, look, I believe there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus, just like Tracy did, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, even at that moment when Tracy prayed, there's still time and there's still hope, a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, go to thegoodlifehoy.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video I set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tracy Anikis. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.